I don't know if you've ever had this experience or not. Maybe you've had it. Maybe you had it as a child. Maybe you've had it as a parent. But have you ever had a moment, a Christmas morning kind of a moment, where a gift was given that needed batteries, but the giver of the gift forgot the batteries? Have you ever had that happen? I remember it like acutely, that happening one Christmas when I was a kid, and how frustrated I was. You guys know me well enough so you can just guess. Just Chad as a, you know, adult Chad as a chit, not a whole lot different. Super frustrated. Just like, and the most frustrating part of it is, you know, like if you get a gift like a remote control car, but you don't get batteries, and it's Christmas morning, you can't get batteries. Because they closed everything. And so now you've got, you know, all the excitement of opening up a remote control car and nothing you can do with it. It's like, duh. Super frustrating. This morning, let me read for you a couple of passages, actually. Why don't we spend a minute here? Why don't you stand with me for the reading of the gospel? This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John in the second chapter. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servant, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And when he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." And so they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who drew it knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first. And when people are drunk, have drunk freely, then the poor wine." It doesn't say we're drunk, but it's kind of what it's implying. Sorry, that. Anyway. Verse 11. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can be seated again. And let me read for you another one of the lectionary passages today, and this will be my text for teaching today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read the first 11 verses together. Paul says this to the church in Corinth. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. And therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." The word of the Lord. I want to look today specifically at one verse from this passage, and that's verse 7, where Paul says this, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." I would posit that humanity, that life is a gift. And I have many people throughout my life who I've encountered who don't know Jesus who would agree with me. I actually have now a newer friend in Victoria who I look forward to getting to know more, who probably in some ways looks like she believes that more than I do. She would say, life is a gift. And I believe that. I believe that life is a gift. Even before we come into relationship with our Creator, life itself is a gift. And people even outside of that relationship can see that. Even if it's a hard thing to see, it's almost impossible to ignore when you hold a baby. It's like, whoa, that's cool. All the same parts, just smaller, you know, like just so cool, right? Like just these tiny little hands. I love it. It's this gift. What a gift, you know? Did nothing. Nothing. And it's truly a gift. Is alive, breathing, taking in, just wow, right? A gift to the baby, but a gift to the world. That life is a gift. But I would also posit that until you come into a relationship with Jesus, it's a bit like a remote control car without the batteries. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's cool. It's a gift. But everyone seems to know. And sometimes it takes a while to get honest with this, but it could be better. It's like we know it's a gift, it's good, but it could be so much better. And there's this hunger, this desire, this, we want batteries. Praise God, that's part of what it is to come in a relationship with Him. That we receive in our relationship with Jesus a gift. The gift of life had already been given to us, but when we come into eternal life, when we come into life and life to the full that Jesus provides, suddenly this thing gets a lot better. That to this gift comes the promised Holy Spirit. A gift the Bible teaches us is given to every one of us who come into relationship with Jesus. All who repent and are baptized will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in each of us as baptized Christians. And so I want to break this verse down. The first thing that 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 says is to each. And so I want you to pay special attention very briefly, but it's an important point. The verse starts with this, to each is given. So he's talking to you. That we should pay attention because Paul's not just talking when he talks about spiritual gifts here and elsewhere in the scriptures about something that's for really special people like him. Who everyone went, that's easy for you to say, Paul. He says, no. To each is given. That all of you have been given gifts. That the Holy Spirit resides in you as a son or daughter of God. So it goes on to say, to each is given. Some of you have done Corpus, and so you've heard some of my teaching on the Holy Spirit already. But for those of you who haven't, let me remind you of a phrase that I grabbed from a book that I read, where the author refers to the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, as the giving gift. And we know that the Holy Spirit himself is a gift. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16, when he promises the Holy Spirit, that I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives is the extension or the result of a giving God who gives himself to us. And here the Holy Spirit is that gift. Peter puts it even clearer in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, when he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Life is a gift. But until God breathes life into us of His Spirit, we've not yet tasted of the gift He intended when He gave us the gift of life. Mm-hmm. That into life came death. And so the life we experience apart from God is not the life we were created for. We find that fulfillment in God, in the giving gift. Because the gift of God to us in the Holy Spirit is by His very nature God, and so is a giving God. And so the Holy Spirit, who is gift, is a giving gift. He gives gifts, and the gifts just keep on coming. I love God. I like gifts. The Holy Spirit gives to us gifts. This passage we just read says there's a variety of gifts, a variety of services, a variety of activities, but all of them a gift from the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. The God who created you gives gifts. Now, if you're taking notes, you might want to write these down. When we talk about spiritual gifts, Paul brings it up a lot, and Peter speaks of it too. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, there's these spiritual gifts spoken of and some listed. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10 give us a bit of a list. Verses 29 to 30 give us some more. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 gives us some more. And 1 Peter 4:11, or 2 Peter 4:11, it's one or the other. My notes say 12 Peter 4:11, and I'm pretty sure that's not right. So it's one. Give us some more. But let me give you the list from all of those passages. If we compile the list of Scripture, the spiritual gifts, I don't think, as most of the reading that I did this week from commentators and stuff, they all would agree with this, that this isn't a comprehensive list. It's not like these are the spiritual gifts, end of story, but these are a great representation and an example of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. There's the utterance of wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles. And this immediately ties me back to Jeff's teach last week of the baptism of Jesus, when he spoke about the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus being the foreshadowing of what we had to look forward to. And that now being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we might walk in the same ways. And so we read the gospel passage today where shortly after that baptism of Jesus, he's turning water into wine. Whoa. That's pretty crazy. Pretty cool. I like it. And here we find in Paul's list that some of us would have the gift of working miracles. Sounds good. Prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, exhortation, giving, ruling, showing mercy, the gift of helps, the gift of administration. And then there's these gifts that play out in sort of capacities like prophets, pastors, teachers, apostles, evangelists, that the Holy Spirit gives to us and to the church gifts. And the word here for gift is the Greek word charisma. Now that's an English word too. Right? And comes from that Greek word, the way we use it. But charisma here is very specifically speaking of a gift, and a true gift. It's a gift freely and graciously given. Now, aren't the best gifts graciously given? Undeserved? When a gift is deserved, it feels more like wages. I'll still take it. I still like gifts. But I'm just saying, when you have worked for it, well, that's closer to wages. The best gifts are the ones you didn't deserve, that you get just because that person loves you or wants to communicate something. It's an act of grace. And the word charisma in the Greek is really closely connected to two other Greek words, the first being charis, which means grace, and the second being pneuma, which means spirit. So we get charisma, charis and pneuma. A grace of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. That Paul speaks here of these gifts as grace from God. And I think it characterizes them well, because that makes sense to me about just us receiving these gifts, that they are to us this gift of grace to us. But the other side of it is that they then, as we use them, as we walk in them, become gifts to others. And the grace of God is communicated through us to others as we walk in their lives in our spiritual gifts. And the good news is simply this, that to each, you included, God has given gifts. The verse says, to each is given. And then where I want to look the most today is at the next part of the verse, that to each is given manifestations of the Spirit. Now, we often sum up in kind of the, you know, are helpful, but kind of English-made typically headings in the Scriptures. These are referred to as spiritual gifts. Right? I think it's very helpful. I think it's a helpful way. But I like this ESV translation. Rather than the word spiritual gifts, it speaks of it this way, manifestations of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So, as the people of God who have come in a relationship with God and have welcomed Christ into our lives, have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and now have power, Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit was, wait, because I am going to pour out my Spirit on you, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be filled with power and become my witnesses. Mm-hmm. You begin to walk out the ministry of Jesus, the gospel life, in power. Wait, I've got batteries. Just a second. Yeah. And so when that happens, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we become what my good friend Gary calls naturally supernatural. That suddenly flesh and blood is not just physical. We don't just take up physical or even just emotional or mental space. We take up spiritual space. That as the people of God, we are naturally supernatural. And in this letter to the Corinthians, earlier in the letter in chapter 3, Paul puts it this way, when he's speaking to the Corinthians about sin issues in their community, it was a pretty messed up church. I shouldn't say it that way. It's just broken people. And they had these real sin issues that related to their bodies. Sexual sin. These kind of things. And when he's speaking to that, this is what he says to them. Do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you? In Christ, we are made naturally supernatural. Human beings, bodies, and souls are now baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God. The Creator Himself has taken up residence in you. This natural body is now capable of supernatural things. This natural body, and many of you know me well, it has limits. As does my emotional capacity and my mental capacity, and I'm aware of them. I am a man. And this man, this body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I love that Paul speaks into their life. Do you not know God is in you? And so I want to make a clear point on this. That when Paul speaks of charisma from the Spirit, when he speaks of spiritual gifts, he's not speaking of merely natural gifting. But of spiritual gifting. The lists that he describes here are, as he says in verse 7, a manifestation of the Spirit, not the man. Certainly the man in his fullness, in partnership, in union with the Spirit, but in ways that the man is not capable of without the Spirit. So this seems very obvious, a very obvious point when we talk about certain things like the gift of working miracles. So someone who turns water into wine, most people would say, yeah, obviously, Jad, that's supernatural. But it's true, too, when he speaks of this wisdom. He's not just speaking of sort of like a Gandalf-like figure who lived long enough. This is not Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? This is not just a really smart guy. This is potentially a very intellectual person. Potentially a fairly unlearned person. It really wouldn't matter, because what he's speaking of is a divine manifestation of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Wisdom that exceeds the wisdom of the person. Mm-hmm. It's better to think of it when we think of like the gift of helps. Okay? Because I can be very helpful in my own strength. I can choose to do that. I can, right? But what he's saying is there is gifts given to the body. And to many of you, where there will be this spiritual gift of help, and you will help in a way that brings the kingdom. You will help in a way beyond your own ability and capacity. And I would also say in a way that brings life to you. Mm-hmm. That you will walk these things out in power. If I get a remote control car for Christmas and no one tells me it's a remote control car and there's no batteries and I don't recognize that, it's a pretty cool gift. I got lots of cars when I was a boy that didn't have a place for batteries and I loved them. We played with them, we rolled. It's still a cool, like it's a gift, right? And I think that's kind of the way some of this can work. Faith may come easier to you, just naturally. Way God's your personality and the way you're wired. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a great gift. It's a beautiful characteristic. But what we're talking about here is what happens when we put batteries in that car. What Paul's describing here is, yeah, that is cool, but watch this. Okay, your dad flicks the little button on the bottom and puts the controllers in your hand. You push the button, the car goes. It's like, oh, this just went from here to here. Potential of our lives, because the Holy Spirit is in us, far exceeds that of our human power and strength. Praise God. And so I would put to you a commendation that I heard earlier this week when I was driving, listening to Bishop Stuart Ruck's Epiphany preach on Sunday, January 6th. I should probably stop listening to Stuart while I drive. Yeah. God's just getting rocked. But on Epiphany Sunday, at Stuart's church, Stuart's a friend of ours who's a bishop in just outside of Chicago in Wheaton, Illinois, and they were ordaining a couple of deacons, a couple of men in their church that they were ordaining as deacons. And I don't know any of them, but I'm just listening to this teach. And but, you know, so Stuart's preaching, and he's preaching to the community, but he's also preaching to these two guys particularly, because they're about to step into a calling, step into a place that in the church we understand is not possible in our own strength to stand in. So one of the things we do in the ordination is pray for the charism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that are needed, the batteries for the car. And he's sitting there and he's speaking out over these guys and he's praying. And suddenly, in what feels like a very intimate moment, even in my car, listening to a podcast, they just know each other. And he began to speak into these guys' lives and to call out the gifts of God that he saw in them. But then he said this, guys, when you go in this service, in this diaconate, when you go to stand with people in these ways, please, don't just take yourself. Go in power. And then he began to point out that, Alec, as awesome as you are, as gifted as you are just a man, and you wrestle with sin, and you walk with your... These are true of you. Don't just bring Alec... Come in power. This is why I shouldn't drive when I listen to Stuart. Because as I drove, God began to speak to me. Chad, as you go, and even then I was driving to an appointment with a young woman who I just, it's so fun to sit with her in a process and a relationship with coming into relationship with Jesus, I believe. And as I'm driving, I'm saying to myself, don't just go. Go in power. And I think it's the difference between so often what we see in Jesus' life when he's with people. The reason it's so impactful is because he comes up out of the waters of baptism full of the Spirit and begins to function out of that place everywhere he goes. And so, via Vancouver, friends, new friends, old friends, the same thing I just said to Alec, I say to you. When you parent, don't just bring you to the table. Come in power. As you go here and there, both in places where you're going to pour out and in places of need, don't just walk in your own strength. Go in the Spirit. I confidently invite you to that. The Spirit is in you. To each is given manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the last part of that verse because Jeff is going to teach beautifully on that in 2 weeks when we hit 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But let me just make this point, simple point, fairly obvious. But those gifts that God has given to you, he didn't give for you exclusively. That there is a responsibility. We need you to stand in the places God's calling you to and to be who he's made you to be. To allow the Spirit to manifest himself to us through you. And so my prayer as we come transition to the table is that the Holy Spirit would come and that he would awaken in us charismatic expectation, charisma. Awaken in us gifts and bring power to those gifts and then release us from this place in those gifts. And so we will transition to the table. I invite Jeff to come, but we will transition to the table, but after we've received, and don't jump the queue here, you've got to walk through the process. But after we've walked through the process of presenting our lives to God and saying, Holy Spirit, come. Would you fill me fresh again and would you awaken in me gifts? Some of you might have questions like this. God, what are my gifts? That's a great question. If you've not experienced or been able to figure that out yet or grow in that, ask him. Better yet, maybe for you today, ask those around you. I bet you they know. Because they've received the Spirit, they've received the graces of God from you, and they can begin to identify how that's been happening. But that's a great question. What are my gifts? But the other thing you might want to do as we transition and as we come even to the table is to come in a fresh way and say, Holy Spirit, would you pour out in my life that I would be filled with power, that I could do what Chad's saying. I could not just bring me to the table. Less of me, more of you, God. Let me decrease, you increase. That's what I'm after. The people would get less and less of my strength and more of his. Whoa. Then the world around me is going to start changing. We prayed. I just prayed for those in my life who don't know Jesus yet. I prayed for the prodigals in my life, friends and acquaintances who would say they love Jesus but can't handle his church. And I prayed for them. If I believe, we're getting off topic a little, but I believe that if we're going to see successful mission happen, it requires power of God. I think it's actually firmly biblical that no one comes to the Father but that He draw them. He has to be involved in the process. And so I am praying and I am asking God, come in power. But the exciting part of this teaching today, of this passage of Corinthians, is He wants to do that, but He wants to do it through you. He actually wants to move manifestations of the Spirit through you. And so, God, we pray, would you come and would you fill us fresh with your Spirit? Would you awaken and release the gifts of the Spirit, the graces of the Spirit in our life? We receive and we thank you for the charisma of God. And we say in a fresh and renewed way today, God, we want to steward the gifts you've given to us well. And so today we renew our commitment to walk in the gifts that you've given us. Holy Spirit, would you come in power?